May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Here on the last day, friends, let me tell you what I think about God and how I think God works. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. This is the earliest Christian proclamation that we have. It is sort of the acorn at the root of our faith. And it tells us the pattern of how God works. That when we think there is no way forward, God is able to see a way forward. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Imagine that we, like the first disciples, imagine that we didn't know how the story of Jesus was going to unfold. For the disciples, and if we were reading along with them and it was brand new and fresh to us at every turn, for Jesus to be arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane was pretty much the worst thing that could happen. They had no idea what was going to happen to him in prison. They had no powerful allies who could set them free, who could set him free. And let's face it, Jesus was not likely to yield in order to save his own skin. And if being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane is pretty much the worst thing that can happen, the next thing that happens is the very worst thing that can happen. They next see Jesus after his night at the soldiers' hands. He has been badly beaten, and he is carrying his cross up to Golgotha to be crucified. And friends, at this point in time, there is only one way that this story could end. Jesus would die, and with him, their hope would die too. And if, let's imagine that in the days and weeks to follow, they try to carry on his message and stir up the crowds and preach like Jesus did, well, then they would be targeted too, until the entire movement had been crushed. That is the obvious ending to this story. That is the blindingly obvious ending to the story of Jesus and his followers. The ending beyond which no one, not the Romans, nor the temple authorities, nor the crowds, nor even the disciples, could see any other possibility for this story to end. But God could. God could see opportunities here that no one else could see. And Jesus knew that this was not a dead end. It was simply a valley. And there was another way out of it and beyond, through the valley of the shadow of death and beyond to the redemption of the world. Christ was dead, but then Christ rose from the dead. Well, what a shock this must have been for the disciples. They were at a dead end, but now the path continued ahead, up out of the valley, and it was almost beyond their understanding what was going on. I wonder how long it took them to get over their shock and to start seeing this new shape of things, to start seeing the way that the path led ahead. I think perhaps it took them 40 days. 40 days of seeing Jesus resurrected and hearing Jesus resurrected and being taught by Jesus resurrected, to reconfigure their imaginations to accept what God had done so undeniably right in front of them, to accept that the path really did rise up and out of the valley and that their journeys weren't over yet. But Jesus' aspiration for his followers went further. It wasn't just for them to accept that Jesus was dead and had risen, wasn't just that it had happened in that one extraordinary set of circumstances. No. Jesus wished for more for the disciples, that they themselves would be able to see that this is actually the pattern of how God acts. Jesus wished for them to learn to see God doing this, opening possibilities, finding new ways out of the valley, right in front of them, in every circumstance that they faced, opening new possibilities to go forward. It is my belief that this was the gift given forth at Pentecost, the gift to see possibilities, sort of the way that God saw them, the gift to look at a situation, a sick person, people with without enough food to eat, or an oppressive structure of state terrorism that had co-opted the religious authorities, for instance, to look at these situations and see not foregone conclusions, but opportunities, chinks in the armor, small spaces of possible ministry, action, creative ways to engage and witness and respond in the world. Sort of as if to see those gaps in the sidewalk where they, like a little blade of grass, could grow up and crack the concrete. On the day of Pentecost, it is as if their eyes became opened to all the possibilities surrounding them on every side. They could see, and their hearts were filled with this irrepressible hope. Nothing could stop the love of God at work in the world through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Christ has died, yes. And Christ has risen, but Christ will come again and again and again, kindling many possibilities in every new situation that we face. And we are to be partners in this resurrecting work. That, I believe, is what happened to the disciples at Pentecost. And it's almost impossible for us to grasp how profoundly this changed everything for them on that one day, the whole way that they saw and understood their world and God at work in it. And their stories, right? They told these stories again and again, the stories of Jesus, yes, but their stories of transformation, of all that God had done in their lives. They told these stories again and again, not only to remember and honor the past, but to help them remain steadfast in that way of seeing the world as pregnant with holy possibility as they went forward into the future. Not to kind of mummify the past so that it would always be preserved perfectly, but actually to keep that past alive and at work in their midst, and to help new generations of Christians come to see the world that way too. And it was all summed up in that one phrase: Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. That, I believe, is how God works in our midst, not just once, but over and over again. And that, my friends, is what has happened to us here at St. George's by the power of the Holy Spirit. What has happened here over the past almost 6 years has not been the obvious route forward, not in the slightest. The wardens who've lived through it alongside me, I mean, in those early days, it looked sure a lot like we were facing a short future for the parish, sort of the end, a fairly foregone conclusion. And at one stage, we knew the number of months until it would happen. But that is not how God saw our situation. God saw possibility beyond the scope of our imagination. God saw that we weren't in a dead end, we were simply in a valley. And there were pathways forward If only we had faith and hope enough to go looking for them. If only we had courage enough to try them. I will always be so grateful that you were courageous enough to try them with me. A leader cannot lead alone. We did this together. We could have closed the parish together, but instead, we led the parish to thrive together. Together, we allowed God to open our eyes to those new possibilities, and we allowed him to fill our hearts with hope. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ has come again and again. I could tell you story after story of how I've seen this happen over the past almost 6 years, testify for hours about how I have seen Christ alive and at work here in our midst at St. George's, how I've seen him transform your lives, how I've seen him transform my life. You don't need me to tell you these stories anymore, because they are your stories. I hand these stories into your good keeping. They are your stories to cherish, and they are your stories to steward. Use these stories not to mummify the past, to honor it as something that happened once, but to strengthen you and inspire you to continue looking for God to be at work this way in your midst. Remind one another of the courage that you have showed in these years. Remember the strength and depth of your faith. Be reminded by what you have accomplished, by honoring one another's gifts and making space for everyone to participate. You made this with your own hands. And this is 24 squares out of 100 squares is what is behind me today. Only a quarter of all the work that you did together. Be reminded what you can accomplish when you honor one another's gifts and invite everyone to participate. Let these stories be a living reminder in your midst of what it looks like and what it feels like when God moves at St. George's to help you recognize and put words to it when it happens again. Let these stories inspire you with hope. There will be valleys. There will be valleys up ahead. Occasionally, you will feel that you were in a dead end, but you are not. God has brought us back to life at St. George's, and God can do more, so much more here with your determined participation, with your courage and your faith and your hope and your love. Our paths diverge from here, friends. God has opened the way for me to go up this way, and you keep heading up the way that you are going. The horizon opens wide ahead. It has been so beautiful being companions on the journey all this way with you out of the valley. As you go forward, may God gift you with good stories to tell one another. And God, open your eyes to the possibilities opening ahead. And may the Holy Spirit swell your hearts with hope and courage for your next steps upward in your journeys of faith. God bless you, friends. Amen.